Welcome back, 506, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and we start hour number three with Jeffrey Cooner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, I read your column today, and I know we talked a great deal about this yesterday, about, the GOP candidates devouring one another and proving to become fodder for the Democrats going into a general election. So I guess I'll leave that alone to some degree, but I wanted to bring up a couple of the players in the GOP field. One in particular, Rick Perry. Now, we've talked about him. The night he came out of the gate and announced, he was instantly the front runner. We watched what he did on stage. He fell apart. I remember you and I had a conversation that evening, and we were both very, very excited about him. And then, of course, all of that went away. This week, we thought that he was going to drop out. He decides against that, and he's been tweeting throughout the day today and yesterday about, hey, I'm going to South Carolina, and then today we received this, hey, I'm going to New Hampshire for the debate. Do you think that he thinks he can make a rebound like Santorum did, come up out of low single digits to be a contender again?
You nailed it, Andy. That's exactly his strategy. In fact, his top people have essentially said so. What they've so told me and they've told other reporters is what Rick Perry is now trying to do is he believes South Carolina is firmer ground for him. It's a much more conservative state than Iowa. There's many more evangelicals. It's the South. People know him there more. And he thinks that Rick Santorum is going to flame out. He's going to fizzle. That Newt has too much baggage, that he was permanently wounded by all the massive onslaught and barrage of attacks that took place in Iowa. And he believes he will emerge as the ultimate anti-Romney, that voters will want to take a second look at him. He thinks he's become a better campaigner, a better debater. Andy, I have to say, in all fairness, on paper, he is the most formidable candidate. I mean, I don't even think Mitt Romney cannot lick his shoes. Mitt Romney cannot shine his shoes. He's got a phenomenal record in Texas. He has balanced numerous budgets. He has cut taxes. He has a very good jobs record. He's grown millions of jobs. 40% of all job creation has been in Texas. He's got a very good record on economic growth, a very good record on judges. He's a staunch pro-life social conservative. He's got a military veteran background. He's been a governor 11 years, and not some small insignificant state. We're talking Texas,
yeah,
One of the most important, powerful states in the Union, frankly, whose economy is that of a major European country. So he has all of that on the positive side of the ledger. He should have cakewalked throughout this campaign. And his fatal flaw, and this is what is so sad and so tragic, is, I don't want to seem too harsh, but he can't string two or three sentences together.
Yeah, he can't sell himself. You hit right on it. That's the problem. And it seems as if you and I have talked about just about every candidate along the way, and we keep finding these pitfalls with each one of them, and they're significant enough to change your opinion of them, and there might not vote for a particular candidate.
That's right. No, you nailed it. And I think, had he been a better debater, frankly, had he read more, had he been more engaged in the issues while he was governor of Texas, while he worked on his debating skills. In fact, privately, I'll tell you what his campaign staff is saying. They said Rick took it too lightly. Rick didn't, quote unquote, he didn't do his homework. So he came in and he thought he was just going to have a coronation to the nomination, that he had such a phenomenal record, that he had this huge ground game, this huge campaign war chest, all of this organization behind him, his record as governor of Texas, and this was literally going to be a cakewalk. And instead, he goes up on the big stage with the big boys, and he's like a deer in the headlights. And I think in the end, it's not going to work, and I'll tell you why. His oops moment, where he couldn't name the three agencies, the third agency.
The energy.
The Democrats are just going to loop it and loop it and loop it and loop it, ad after ad. I think they're going to crush him. But what I do think, Andy, is this. The fact that Perry is still in the race, I believe, helps Romney. I believe the way now the election has come out of Iowa, it has maximized Romney's chances to win the nomination. He is the establishment moderate candidate in the race. He can only get about 25, maybe 30% of the vote. The other conservative vote is badly splintered. So the fact that Santorum did so well, He, in fact, is pulling from Gingrich. Gingrich still has a has his supporters in the party. Perry will probably get 12, 14, 15% in South Carolina. So that huge disaffected conservative vote, the anybody but Romney vote, they're carving it up among themselves, and that's going to enable Mitt to just rack up one victory after another. He's now leading in South Carolina for the first time, a stunning new poll. If he wins, he's won Iowa. If he wins New Hampshire, and it looks like he will, and he wins South Carolina, he will come in with such momentum, such energy, such an air of inevitability going into Florida. I believe he will win Florida, and at this point, the other candidates will simply no longer have the money to wage a 50-state campaign, a 50-state strategy, and I think it'll be Romney's for the taking.
Hmm.
So what the conservatives should have done, and they would have done this 30, 40 years ago, this is what the upside of the backroom politics that nobody likes, the smoke-filled back rooms. One of them would have said, look, either it's you, Newt, you, Rick, or you, or you, Santorum, or you, Rick Perry. And now one of you has to walk out of this room and say, I'm going to be the nominee. And then we throw everything we have behind you. Instead, this new modern primary caucus system where you fight it out for votes, you fight it out state after state, you don't have the big boys with the cigars in the back room carving the deals, now they're going to fight it out and fight it out and fight it out. And you're going to have a man that about 60, 70% of the party is clearly not comfortable with being the party's nominee. So I think Romney has to reach out to these conservatives. If he does not, I think he'll be a weak candidate going into the general election. And this is why, Andy, you've heard it here first. I believe he will pick either John Thune to be his vice president, running mate, or more likely he will go with Marco Rubio.
Hmm.
He will get the Hispanic vote with Rubio. Rubio is a favorite among Tea Party conservatives. It will shore up his conservative credentials. In fact, many would even say, you know what? We may even like Rubio for the number one slot over Romney, ideally. He has to do something as bold as that, I think, to bring these disaffected conservatives on board if he wins New Hampshire, if he wins South Carolina, if he wins Florida. He has to reach across the conservatives, or else he's going to be a weak nominee.
Yeah, it's fascinating that you had mentioned Rubio on the day that Rubio sent a letter to Obama saying that he was turning this into a deadbeat country.
Yeah, I mean, Rubio is doing this deliberately to augment his profile.
Yeah.
I've been hearing now there is some chatter between the Romney and Rubio campaigns. In fact, he's got a short list. He's got Sarah Palin, he's got John Thune, and he's got Marco Rubio. That's Romney's short list right now. And I believe if he's smart, he will go with Rubio. Romney Rubio, I believe, is invincible in 2012.
Yeah, you may be onto something there, that's for sure. All right, my friend, have a good weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
God bless you, Andy. Bye.
Take care. Jeff Cooner of the Washington Times.